think about a month ago, I shared my testimony, and Evelyn said she had a powerful testimony. So I'm like, you know what? I want to hear it, and I think you guys will be blessed by it. I love testimonies. You know, testimonies are powerful, and each one of us have a testimony. We all have one. Witness the evidence or proof of some fact. I love it. You know, Psalm 119 verse 2 says this: blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with his whole heart. Testimonies are powerful. I did a message one time on evangelism, and we were talking about divine appointments and how important divine appointments are with people. Actually, I think we have a divine appointment every day. We have to ask God for the discernment to know, hey, this is a divine appointment. And if we miss it, hey, we ask for forgiveness, repent, and keep on moving. But I'm going to share the testimony of a divine appointment I had. I was doing some street ministry in New York one time. And we were there for a couple days. And we went on a Staten Island ferry. Got on the Staten Island ferry. And it was a young, probably about 13, 14-year-old young man. You know, young teenager just sitting there. He had this scowl look on his face. And I was minding my business. And the Lord said, go speak to him. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go speak to him. So I sat there and talked with him, shared Christ with him, prayed with him, loved on him. And out of the corner of my eye, I see this young lady crying, tearing up. So after I got done talking with him, she runs up in front of me. She said, I thank you. That's my son. And I've been asking God to send somebody to tell him about Jesus. Now you think about it. God took me from Indiana to New York, put me on a ferry to talk to him. That's powerful. That's the type of testimonies I like to hear because it encourages me. It encourages me when I hear about Bob getting healed or something or a financial situation getting taken care of by God. I think we need to do more of that. We don't do enough of that, sharing God's grace. Didn't Chris just talk about that Sunday? Let's start sharing it with one another and then go out there and share it with the world. You know, we have to start doing that. I want to hear that. So what? If you had negative $28 in the bank account and then all of a sudden it's balanced, I want to hear it. That's how it's God. We need to encourage one another. Amen. But anyway, God had answered her prayers. And that was powerful. That's one of the most powerful testimonies that I've experienced with the Lord in the last 20 years. Is just seeing that, you know, this young woman crying, having her prayers answered to somebody come talk to him about Jesus. Man, that's awesome. In Psalm 119, 167 says this: my soul keeps your testimonies and I love them exceedingly. How many of y'all just love it? I love God's testimony. I love him. I want to hear him. When my wife gets in the car some days and she tells me what God is doing, I love to hear it because it encourages me. I could have had a messed up day or something. Now I hear what God is doing. It gives me the strength to keep on moving, keep on going on. Amen. So I like to hear those type of things. How many overcomers do we have in this house? Raise your hand if you're an overcomer. Hallelujah. This is my favorite one about testimonies. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives to death. I love that. There's power in your testimony. There's power in your testimony. Power in your testimony. You share that. I don't care what it is. I got to share something God did. There's power in it. You share it and let God take care of the rest. Don't worry about if it touched them or if it didn't come out eloquently. Who cares? Let God take care of that. Because you never know. That person might be in the middle of the night, man. Oh, man. I remember this brother shared this testimony about the same thing I'm going through right now. And he said something about this Jesus. You never know. I'm going to pass it over to Evelyn. Let's welcome her. I've been waiting for this for the last couple weeks to hear about it, so amen.
All right, so I'm going to start you out with a verse, and it's kind of funny because I started to write a bunch of things about testimony, so I'm glad I didn't because he just went through all of them. So, you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do thy light a lamp and put it under a basket, but a lampstand, and gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men that they may see the good works and glorify the Father in heaven. So when you guys think this, what do you guys think of the light of God? You just, I mean, like, really, what do you think about? Do you think about, oh, you know, I'm a good Christian. I try to be nice to people and I feed the hungry and I don't try to run somebody off the road or, you know, those kind of things. We think about that and we think, oh, we're good people. We don't do that. And that is our light, too. That is God's light in us as well. But I started asking God, what does my testimony mean? So I started looking up scriptures, but he kept giving me scriptures about light. Here's another one. It's kind of like Matthew. And it says, also he said to them, it's not a lamp to be put under a basket or under a bed, but it's to be set on a lampstand. And then I kept thinking about it, and I was thinking, am I sharing my light? I'm like, I'm not hiding my light. I wear Christian shirts, and people ask me about it. So I say, you know, Jesus loves them. And I mean, you know, I do. I wear these shirts because I want people to ask me or say something, and then I'd be able to share. But you know what? I think that our testimonies are his light. I think that we were into darkness, and he brought us into light. Well, if we didn't have that darkness, then the light wouldn't shine. And that's what he wants us to do, is shine. And I've never really shared my testimonies except for a few things, like with the women. I did it with Teen Challenge, and my husband knows my whole testimony. But anyway, I kept praying about it, and I said, Lord, what do you want? And so he led me this verse, and it's Psalms 145, 4 through 7. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendors of your majesty and on the wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of the awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. And I kept thinking, I'm not declaring his greatness. I mean, I do say, oh, praise the Lord, I love him. But you know, a lot of times it's with Christian friends. We don't reach out to people and share what God is doing in our lives. And, you know, a lot of times you're in church and people say, what is your testimony? He just touched on it. And people just look like a deer in a headlight. Or they have to think about something that God did for them that day. It really bothers me. And I thought, God, why aren't we sharing these testimonies? And I started thinking about the children of Israel and how they just want to bicker and complain about things that's going on in their life. And they keep forgetting what God has done for them. So I felt like God really wanted me to start sharing my testimony to somebody. And luckily, Anthony did his testimony. So when he shared his, I was like, okay, God, you're trying to get me ready, get me going. And so the next day, Thursday, I was at Burger King, and I was getting food for Zach because he was at karate, and I thought, I'm going to get food, I'm going to go to Walmart, and then head back to karate. And here's this little guy walking down the street limping, and when he steps up, he has no shoes on. And then right away, I realized he was homeless. He had a backpack on. And I felt God say, you need to do something about this. And I was like, well, I don't have any money on me. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to go Walmart, and I'm going to get what I need, and then I'll just get cash. And if he's still over there, then I'll stop. And of course, he's sitting in the parking lot. And when I was putting the stuff back into the van from Walmart, I saw that Zach's old tennis shoes were in there. And so I'm driving, and he's there, and I pull in, and I said, excuse me? And he looked at me, and he goes, and I said, I know this sounds weird, but God told me to stop and give you this $20 bill. I said, I know it's not much, but he wants to tell you that he loves you. And then the Holy Spirit just, I said, God loves you. And then I said, I can tell that you are having a rough time in life. And I said, but let me share what God has done for me. And I shared my testimony for the first time that was just like deep. It wasn't his. This guy was probably a drug addict because he had like sores and things like that. But he goes, what's your name? And I told him, and he goes, I'm going to remember you. And then I got his name, and I said, and I'll remember you too. And I said, and now you have somebody praying for you. And so I don't know if he took that and went and did drugs. I don't know what he did. But you know what? There was a seed planted. And so that's what God wants. He wants our testimonies to be light to people. Okay, so I told him a little bit about that. And he goes, you know, Evelyn, you said your testimony was good, so I want to see if you'll share it. And he gave me the date. And I was like, okay, let me think about it. And then I told him I would. And then I got scared because, you know, the enemy wants us to be condemned and feel bad. And it says there is therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And I'm like, I'm in Jesus. I'm in Christ Jesus. I shouldn't be feeling condemned. And then Pastor Chris did the message that he did. Ouch, people, ouch. Because I do feel like I hide God's blessings in me, that I don't share them the way I should. I do share them with my church friends because they'll understand, you know? And then I told Chris that I was giving my testimony. He goes, oh, it's okay here at this church. He said, these people aren't going to judge you, which I feel that way too. I've never shared with any of my church family. So you guys should love our pastor because he trusts you guys. All right, before I share my testimony, I had to write it down because I was afraid that I would forget stuff or get all off track. I want to read this quote, and I want you to think about it while I read the testimony. Your story is a key that can unlock someone else's prison. Only God can turn a mess into a message, a test into a testimony, and a trial into a triumph, a victim into a victor. I didn't really grow up in church, even though my grandpa was a preacher. My mom rebelled, married my dad, who was a bad boy and an alcoholic. When I was 3, my dad moved my mom, my 2 brothers and sister to Indiana. So after we left Colorado, we weren't required to go to church. But as soon as I started going to school, I met some school-age friends in the neighborhood, and they'd invite me to VBS or Sunday school. And I probably gave my life or said the salvation prayer over 100 times. I also attended church when we went to Colorado to visit my grandparents every 2 to 3 years. You see, my grandparents were those Christians that were true Christians. They're the ones that really showed you the love of God. So I believed in God, and I wanted to know more. And this sounds like I'm headed on the right track, right? Well, when I was 9, my world spun out of control. First, my sister got pregnant at the age of 13, and she married the guy because our parents forced them. And I felt like he was taking my sister away because she was my big sister. So I started hanging out with my best friend because my parents were focused on her. So I thought, oh, they don't care. I started staying at her house, and she lived with her grandparents, and they took me to church. That's good. Well, I'd stayed many times, and I felt safe. Well, one night staying the night, my friend didn't feel well, and she decided to sleep on the couch. Her grandpa came into the room where I was sleeping, and he sexually abused me. I knew this was wrong, but apparently he did these things to my friend all the time because she said, it's okay, just don't tell anybody. I felt betrayed by my friend. Needless to say, I stopped hanging out with her, and these people were supposed to be Christians. After that, I became more and more lonely, and I didn't think that I was worth anything. I didn't think that I deserved to be happy. And for some reason, I actually thought God was mad at me. I was too scared and too embarrassed to tell anybody, and I kept this tragedy hidden inside. This is when depression started. See, I looked happy on the outside. I did sports and things in school, but I was dying inside. What topped this off is in my preteens, my sister and her husband moved back into our house. I began to think that being messed around by a man was a normal behavior because he would grab me inappropriately and smack me on the behind. That was her husband. By the time I reached my teenage years, I stopped going to church with anyone except for my grandparents, and that was only because we were made to. And when I hit 16, I didn't have much worth, and I chose an abusive relationship with a guy who physically and mentally abused me. I even developed eating disorders. You see, I think I did that because I was wanting to die slowly. By this time, I had so many secrets that I just sunk further and further into my being and into depression. My grandma never gave up. I always wondered how she knew I was suffering. Of course, we all know. And you know how grannies are. She would always say, I'm praying for you and Jesus loves you. But I didn't care. I didn't know anything that Jesus could love about me. Because I said, look what I've become. When I graduated from high school, I decided to go to college. Everything was going good. And then my parents, this is where my sister and her husband and 5 kids moved back in our house. And my parents told me they couldn't pay for my college anymore. So that's okay. I decided that I was going to get a job that would help me pay for my college. A job that I was not very proud of. But this is my story. So I'm not going to go into detail, but I was underage, I worked in a bar, and was not a bartender or a waitress, and I made lots of money. You guys get the gist of it. Around this time, I continued in the relationship with the abusive boyfriend, whom I thought loved me. After all, we'd been together off and on for 3 years, even though he broke up with me, broke my heart several times, and hit me once in a while. Well, I thought he loved me, at least until this happened. I became pregnant. I actually was not going to share this with you, but after the conference, I decided to watch the movie Unplanned, and that was one of the speakers. It brought me back to this moment. And let me tell you, that movie tore me up. When I told my boyfriend, he said, you know what you have to do? And I said, I was clueless at the time. I'm like, what? And he said, you have to get an abortion or I'm going to leave you. So I was only about 4 or 5 weeks and I scheduled the appointment. My heart sank. I didn't believe in this and I didn't want to do it, but I didn't want him to leave me either. Stress in my life at this point was so overwhelming. I wanted out of this thing called life. That night, one of my girlfriends wanted to cheer me up and to celebrate my birthday, which was later that weekend, but we had to work, so we went out that night. By the way, I had a fake ID too. So I went to a bar, and I drove home that night, and lo and behold, if my life couldn't get any better, we got pulled over for drinking and driving. My so-called friend even snitched me out and told the cop that I had a fake ID, which is a federal offense. I didn't know it, but God was actually watching out for me. I only got a misdemeanor for drinking and driving, and the officer even said, I'm not turning this ID thing in because I think you're a nice kid. I'm going to cut you a break. The next morning, my dad and mom picked me up from Marion County Jail. What a wonderful place. I was so ashamed and disappointed in who I had become. I thought my parents would never forgive me. My dad even tried to make light of it and asked me, what kind of birds didn't fly? A jailbird. Not funny at the time. They had no idea that I was internally in jail and had no hope in getting out. You know, I'm not sure it was from the night of drinking or stress or both, but I had a miscarriage the next morning. To me, I still had an abortion because where I was in my life, I would have went through with it. You guys, I don't believe in abortion. I didn't believe in abortion then. And I don't believe any of you guys do. But if there is anybody in this room, I'll be the first to pray for you because it is murder. It is murder. And if you know anybody, that movie Unplanned will shake their world. It will shake their world. Now for the good part. At this time, my scars were so deep in depression and overwhelming, I wanted to die. A couple of weeks later, I was only 20 by then. I was on my way to the degrading job. It was 2 hours away. So, you know, nobody would know that I did what I did. Another hidden thing. I made up my mind this was the day that I would do it. It was a wooden area that went around a curve and into the forest area where a creek sat at the bottom. I was sure to hit a tree head on and die. The thing is, I did still believe in God, and I still prayed, and I also had a praying grandmother. Before I left my house, I even said to God, if you are real and you love me, you will show me before I do this. I was about a mile and a half away from the place, clenching my fist, just ready to do it. And I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit at the time. But I felt a voice that said, turn on the radio. Funny thing is, I listened to cassette tapes, so I don't know why I would turn on the radio. But I turned on the radio and heard the song, Amazing Grace. And the part that says, saved a wretch like me, was what was playing. And at that moment, I knew God was real, and he wanted me to live. I pulled my car over and began to cry and pleaded to Jesus for help. I felt a love that I could never explain. I knew at that moment Jesus loved me and that I had to live, and I felt a purpose for the first time. This was a Saturday, so money was good that day, but it didn't matter. I turned around, I went home, and I looked through the phone book for a Pentecostal church, because that's where my grandparents went and they were good Christians. So I found one, a little Pentecostal house of prayer, and actually that's where I met Carol. I went that Sunday morning. And at that instant, I was able to quit my job, break up with that awful boyfriend. And then 2 weeks after that, I was baptized by the Holy Spirit, and ever since I've been praising Jesus. But there are so many blessings that has happened since that happened. I was able to find a job at the children's home, and it was a night watch job. So I was able to finish my degree as well. And then 2.5 years later, I started praying for a husband. And I was like, God, I want the one from you. And people would set me up on dates. And they would say they're Christians, but they weren't Christians. They wanted the same thing as other men did. But anyway, not all you men, but you know what I mean. So I said, God, I don't want them to say, I go to this church, or I go to this church, or I go to this church. I want them to say, I have a relationship with Christ. So I met Steve, and I was like, you know, I go to church, and I believe in God. And he goes, well, I don't really go to church right now because of my job, but I have a relationship with Christ. I kid you not. That is what he said to me. That's the cool thing, because he just blesses you and blesses you. And our testimonies actually prepare us as Christians, too, because we have trials, right? We have trials. And one of the trials that I went through that I don't think that I would have the authority of God is when I was pregnant with the twins. I had a thing called twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome, and that was where they had an artery that they shared. And Zach was not growing. That's why he got the name Zachariah, by the way. So he was not growing, and Jack was, like, huge compared to him. And this doctor that I went to, she was like, well, you're just lucky you have two in there. And right then, the Spirit of God welled up in me, and I said, woman, God did not put two in there for one to live. And, of course, they're both here. And we have to not be like the children of Israel, because sometimes we look at our circumstances and then we whine and we complain and we whine and we complain and we forgot what God already brought us through. And we have testimonies, but we don't share them. I don't know why testimonies are not happening. I mean, you wake up every morning. That's a testimony. That's a testimony. And, you know, here recently, I've had a few people contact me and tell me things that are going on in their lives. And I'm like, this church is being under attack. Because we're doing what God wants us to do, and we are focusing on God, and we are searching out for God. And one thing that I really felt God tell me in my spirit, you guys have a ministry that is amazing, okay? These kids need you guys, okay? Your family has been under attack, but you're going to get through this because you guys know His promises, and you've been through stuff before, and it's going to be a testimony. It is. It's going to be a testimony. And you take that as prophecy because it's going to be a testimony. And so if you're going through anything, you know, here's another cool thing that God did. It's a blessing. I just got to tell you this. And it's kind of a thing that is hard for me to share. Steve was married before I was. So Lee was his from a first marriage. I met Steve when Lee was 6 months old. And Lee took right to me as his mommy. And so I lost this baby, but God gave me another baby. So, you know, it sounds crazy, but there's so many things. And after I start looking back, I'm like, oh my goodness, I have forgotten how good you are to me. How good. And that's what I want you guys to do, is not let your light not shine. You know, when I think of that little song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We got to stop putting it and hiding it and share it. We have to share it. It's not, you know, we have to share the gospel, but the gospel is Jesus, and the gospel is getting us out of what we were in. We were once in the pit of hell, and now we're not. So that's what I wanted to share with you.
That's powerful. That's what I'm talking about right there, boy. You need to share those type of things. When I hear stuff like that, like Evelyn's testimony, it encourages me. And it really encourages me. If you listen, those who've been forgiven much, love much. People always say, man, why are you so crazy about Jesus? You don't know where I came from. Not once, but twice. You don't know what God has done for me. That's why I love Him so much. Amen. That was good, Evelyn. Thank you for having the courage to share that. I think we need to have more courage to share those type of things. People need to hear that. Teenagers need to hear that. Young adults need to hear that. I mean, we talk about this community, but guess what? They need to hear that. They need to hear those type of things. So they can understand we serve the living God. We serve Jesus and His power in that name. That's what they need to hear. That's what this community needs. I'm tired of programs. I'm tired of all this mundane, silly stuff. They need Jesus. That's what they need. And it's our responsibility. Everyone is in this building. It's our responsibility to take that gospel out there. To take Jesus to them. And I'm going to tell you something. For that one person, it's worth it. It's worth it. God is so good. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, I want to pray with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Hallelujah. 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 Father God, we approach your throne humble, Father God. And we thank you for what you did here tonight and what you're going to continue to do. May you continue to keep us stirred up. May you continue to have us share our testimony and brag on you at all times. Hallelujah. What a way we carry ourselves, Father God, and living for you, living holy before you, Father God. Hallelujah. And we thank you for that. That we might not even know the lives we may touch by doing that, Father God. But you'll show us when we get to heaven because we are faithful to you, Father God. And that's what it's about. It's about taking souls to heaven with us. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Father God, that we're not going to be a congregation getting caught up in all the trivial things of the world, but we're going to get caught up in Jesus because there's power in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for that. Oh, hallelujah. Father God, I ask that with the rest of this week, Father God, you just protect us, you lead us and guide us, that you bless us, Father God, and that all the things we do with our life, let it be about Christ. Let it be about you, Lord, no matter what's going on. We thank you for it right now. In Jesus' mighty name, and those who agreed said amen.